picked up your devotional, get that after service from Joyce at the Welcome Center. And so Brother David Harris is with us again today, and so we are thankful to have him alongside. And so at this time, he's coming to share on the gift of love. Let's give him a warm welcome.
Hallelujah. How many of you don't have that little booklet? You haven't picked it up yet, the one that she showed on the gift of love. Everybody has one? You're going through the devotional at home? All right. I think we still have some in the foyer. So if you can't follow along with me, you can just follow along with that book, because I just was informed that my sermon is in that book. So you can go ahead and do that. So, Lord, we just thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that as we look again into your word, that your word is always anointed, active, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you right now that as we spend time in your word, Lord, you will impart not just knowledge, but your spirit to us, that we'll see your word in a new way, in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, we thank you for that. So we've got all kinds of scriptures to get through today, and I just wanted to remind us again that what is the key scripture that we're talking about? Do I need to move this somewhere maybe? Do what? Up. Move it up. How about there? Is that better? Test, test. You guys can hear me, right? I know you can hear me whether I have the mic on or not, so that's not an issue. If I put it in my beard, maybe that will work. Usually they tell me to put it down, but we'll try that again. Okay. So as we've been talking here the last couple of weeks about Advent, and that just is talking about the appearing of Jesus Christ, the first Advent, how many of you know there's going to be a second Advent when Jesus comes back a second time, when he'll return a second time? And so we understand that the scriptures tell us in 1 Corinthians 13:13, now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And God so loved the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whosoever believes on him will not perish, will live, have everlasting life, depending on the translation you're reading it through there, but it's all the same. God gave, we receive, we have life. Come on. And so we're thankful. The gift of love, which is a person, his name is Jesus. And there's different forms of love. The scriptures teach basically in the Greek, there's four different types of love, and we aren't going to develop all that. We're just going to talk here for a couple of minutes. First of all, about the greatest love, which is the love that changed everything, God's agape love. Amen? The ultimate gift, the ultimate sacrifice, that holy, complete, and infinite love that God loved and love gave. Amen? So true love gives. True love is not just, oh, I love you in word and no deeds. Love is giving towards others. Amen? And the scripture says that we need to accept and we need to believe in him, and we will have then eternal life. Now, this is a basic understanding that we have about love, but just because it's basic doesn't mean it's always easy to accept. Anybody have trouble receiving gifts when people give you things? I'm one of those, oh, no, you don't really need to give it to me. Oh, and then years ago, when I first started preaching, somebody arrested me with that because I was being too humble and just, and I really was uncomfortable when they were trying to give me things. And they said, are you going to deny me my blessing? Yeah. I said, well, when you put it that way, I guess I won't be caught up in my pride and think that I, you know, can't receive it from you, that type of a deal. And so, you know, it's hard at times to receive, to accept. And if you're feeling unlovable at the moment, you're feeling undeserving, you're feeling that, you know, there's problems in life, that, you know, we need to understand that, look, God's love is greater, larger, bigger, deeper, wider, however you want to use whatever adjective, that he is greater than your problems. He's greater than your and my sin. Amen? That the sacrifice of Christ, when he paid the propitiation for our sins, I mean taking away our sins, the payment for our sins, the judgment, that was great enough to cover every past, present, and any stupid thing you're going to do in the future sin. Come on. The blood of Jesus was great enough to forgive us, cleanse us, and forgive us. Amen. God's love is greater than your sin and your unbelief. Even if you feel you've committed the unpardonable sin, A, if you feel you've committed the unpardonable sin, you probably haven't, because you wouldn't even feel, your heart would already be calloused and you wouldn't even be feeling that you'd committed the unpardonable sin. But even if you think, your pride says, I'm so bad, I'm such a bad sinner that God can't possibly love me. No, that's contrary to the scriptures. That's contrary to the facts. Jesus came and he died in your place and in my place. And his love and his forgiveness is so much greater. You guys will let me know, do I need to go to handheld or we, okay. If you just pull me down two or three octaves, you know. Yeah. All right. No matter what you've done, no matter what deep, dark secrets, doubts, fears, pain, God's love can handle it. Amen? Anybody testify to that? Anybody was hopeless before you came to Jesus? Come on. You were at the end of yourself. You were at the bottom. You couldn't go any lower. And Christ came, and as the old song says, love rescued me when I was sinking. Come on, dark and lost. His love came and rescued me. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and each Sunday these candles are being lit to symbolize as we reflect on hope and love and peace and joy. But we're not just receiving the precious gifts of Christ and reminding ourselves about that, but we're talking about the greatest gift of all, which is love. This morning, the candle of love was lit. The other gifts are meaningless unless we experience the love of Christ. It's okay to have hope. It's okay to have peace and joy. But you can't really have true peace. You can't have true joy until you have the person of Jesus Christ, and He is love. He is love. God is love, it says over in 1 John 4:16. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. One more time, let's slow down. God is love, and those who abide or live in love live in God, in Him. And God lives in them. So see, this tells me that it's a choice we have to accept. Like a moment ago, I was talking about John 3:16. You have to accept what He's done for you. If we were out taking a cruise and you somehow fell off the ocean liner and you're out there in the middle of the Atlantic or Pacific or the Caribbean or wherever you are and you're flailing away trying to struggle to stay alive and somebody sees you from up there and they throw you a life preserver and it's a foot away from you and you don't do anything to grab onto it, whose fault is it if you drown? It's your own. Christ has already died for our salvation. He's already given Himself for us. And it's our fault if we don't accept and receive what He has done. Amen? Amen? It's our fault. Love begins with acceptance. God is love. Those who abide or live or dwell in Him abide in God, and God abides in them. The Bible tells us that we're made in God's image. In the essence, and the essence of God is love. So our essence in Him should also be love. Contrary to what the contemporary culture would teach us, we are not just material beings living in a material world. Some of you older enough remember that song.
Yeah.
Come on, that's not who we are. We are spiritual beings that are living in this material world. My home is not here.
Amen.
Or even in Michigan. My home is not here on this planet. I'm an ambassador sent from a place I'm going to return to represent Christ now. But this is not my eternal home. And if we settle that in our heart, and some of us, as we get older, we realize, man, you don't really need all those toys.
That's right.
Come on. They didn't really need all those things. You know, they were fun for the season, you know, when you enjoyed them, et cetera. But, you know, you don't need those things. Anybody else besides me walk around the house and go, man, I don't need that anymore. Man, I haven't even used that in 3 years. Why do I still have it? Because it's mine. All right, I'm not going to let go of it. When the zombie apocalypse comes, I have enough clothes to clothe half the neighborhood. Come on. We hang on to things. Well, part of that's a false hope that I'm going to get back down to that size that I was when I graduated high school. Plus, those things are already coming back in style again. Anybody notice that? You wait long enough, all those things that your kids made fun of you for wearing, they're starting to wear now, and your grandchildren are starting to wear those things. Because they've come, the cycles come back around. Love begins with acceptance. It's true of God's relationship with us and our relationship with each other. Jesus tells us God accepts and loves us the way that we are. Come on. Even when we were yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Isn't that awesome to think about? You could not do anything to deserve forgiveness. I could not do anything to earn my forgiveness. And even while you were in your sin, while we were yet sinners, Christ came and died. Talk about having faith. Jesus had the greatest faith, the faith that one day we would wise up and accept what He's done for us. Amen? We have to accept what He's done. We don't have to become perfect to be acceptable to God, because our acceptance is not based on ourselves and our works, although works do follow faith in Christ. Amen? But our acceptance is based on what He did. He did. And if we get time, we'll get into it, and we'll look at where the Scripture tells us over in 1 John that He was made the propitiation for our sin. And what that means is He came down and He took the place of us. Propitiation. Appeasal. Every religion on the planet is trying to appease what they perceive as an angry God. They're trying to do things to earn His forgiveness Come on. But see, it, works will never get you to God. Only the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. That is what gets us reconciled. That's the second part of propitiation. First of all, was that judgment, that appeasement that had to take place. But then there's that reconciliation of us being brought back into right relationship with God in a relationship that is stronger than Adam and Eve had in the garden. As great as Adam and Eve had it before they sinned, think about it. It says in the cool of the day, they would walk along with God. But see, God was walking along with them. New creation realities, us new believers in Christ Jesus, God not only walks along with us, he lives on the inside of us. He came on the inside of you and I to change us, to make us born again, to give us a new nature. Once we understand and accept that we are already loved, and once we realize this, our lives will be transformed and we will have a more loving faith, and light will shine out of us in that way. If God accepts us and he loves us, then we should accept and love each other. Amen. That's what the scriptures tell us. Love, true love, builds a bond between people. It's grounded in the realization that if we are all children of God, then we are all his brothers and sisters. And 1 John, I think I alluded to it a couple weeks ago. It's a scary thing to read through 1 John. Anybody read through 1 John? It's good. That was in the booklet for this time this week. But read through some of these scriptures here. He says, if the love of Christ is in you, you'll love your brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? If you abide in him and he abides in you, then you will manifest his love through you. Is what happens. That's a mark of a maturing Christian, right? One of the Christian marks, as far as Christians, they will know we are Christians by our love. The old little chorus we used to sing, and they'll know we are Christians by our tithing, church attendance, by our love. Love. Love for him, love for each other, love for the world. Come on. They'll know that we're Christians. 1 John 4, again, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. That's Jesus. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So this tells me if somebody's being unlovable, they aren't walking in their knowledge of Jesus at that moment. Everybody understand that? You know, we had the little bracelets years ago, What Would Jesus Do?, which was based on that book, that classic book, In His Steps by Charles Sheldon, over 120 years ago when he wrote that for his congregation, to try and live a whole month, and every time you did something, to say, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then it became a fad about, 10, 20 years ago when everybody started wearing the armbands. And there's nothing wrong with that. If, you know, you're about to partake of sin and you glance down at your wrist and go, what would Jesus do? Well, you wouldn't be doing what I'm about to do. If it stops you from sinning, that's great. But how about what would Jesus do in this situation? He would manifest love in that situation. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God. This is why I say 1 John is kind of scary. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now, what's that mean? It means we aren't walking in the reality of the knowledge of his love, which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5. We already have that love on the inside. But we're not walking in the knowledge of it. We're not walking in the release of that love. He says, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this, that those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. The message of Christmas is this, that God so loved the world that he became flesh. He became incarnate in Jesus of Nazareth, that we might see what God's love looks like in a human form. And Jesus told us the greatest commandment that he gave unto us was what? That we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul and mind and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And in so doing that, we are incarnating the true meaning of Christmas, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. We are releasing and showing forth the love of God. You have to experience his love. It's not something that you just know about his love. We have to experience it. In the scripture, we sang about it earlier today, that nothing can separate us from God. It says over in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39, who shall separate us? Neither height nor depth, angels, principalities? No! And all these things were conquerors. Nothing can separate us from the love of God towards us or through us except for us. We have to accept what he's done, and we have to accept that he wants to do something through us too. Not just to us, but through us. Let me say to us and through us. Come on, that's God came down, did something to us. He changed us, gave us a new nature, gave us his love on the inside of us, and he wants to release that love through us to others. You have to experience the love of Jesus Christ. It's not enough to simply acknowledge that Christ came, he lived, he died. Come on, there's a couple kids that are still here. Well, some of you think you're kids anyway. Remember back when you had a present that was underneath the tree? Now, the classic one is, what is it, Christmas Story, you'll shoot your eye out. Remember that one? Right. And all the presents are ripped open. The kid, anybody know what I'm talking about? The classic film in there, you know. And the kid, you know, gets the wonderful bunny outfit from his aunt or whatever, and he's forced to wear that. And then they're like, and he's all upset because he really wanted a present. What was the present that he wanted? Red River, Rider, BB gun. I can't remember what the exact model. And they kept telling him, everybody told him, you know, you can't have that present. It's bad for you. You can't have that. And so at the end of Christmas, everybody's, all the presents are ripped open. And the dad says, hey, isn't there one more still under that tree that has your name on it? Did the kids say, that's okay, I got enough this week, you know, this year, I'll wait till next year? No, what did he do? He ran over and grabbed it, ripped it open, and what was it? It was that Red Rider BB gun, right? And he promptly goes out in the backyard and almost shoots his eye out and breaks his glasses. Okay, but anyway, side story. Kids will not leave any present left, wrapped up, under the tree if it has their name on it. Come on. Anybody else? Yeah, they'll rip open. Yeah, my little granddaughter, she'll rip everybody's present open if you're not careful, you know. She'll, because she likes to rip it open. Right. But you know, you have to experience and not just acknowledge that you've been given a gift. We can acknowledge all day long, yes, there was a Jesus. Yes, even secular historians, there's enough proof and documentation to prove that Jesus Christ lived. He lived in Nazareth. He was crucified. All that stuff, historical records, all back us up. Secular atheists have to accept the fact that there was a man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who it was said of, he went about doing miracles, and he was very intelligent, very wise. And it's said that he, after he was crucified, he was raised from the dead, it's said of his disciples. Even the secular people have to say that and admit that if they're being honest. But it's not enough to just know that. You have to experience him. During this season that we're celebrating, even here this week as we're talking about love, let's fully experience his love in a new and deep way. Come on. As we continually, everybody say continually. Continually open. Hopefully you have not stagnated. What happens to a river when it comes in and it stops and stagnates? It becomes a swamp. Come on. The river has to keep flowing. The river has to keep flowing. You have to keep receiving from Christ. You can't live your Christian life. Anybody find it out besides me? You can't live your Christian faith today based on something that happened 30 years ago. Not even 3 years ago. Not even 3 weeks ago. Come on, it's a daily right for us and privilege that we get to know the Savior. It's not a one-off. It's not like accept Christ and, you know, punch your card and you're ready for heaven. Come on, it's a daily relationship. It's more than just gathering on Sunday. This is just icing on the cake that you've been baking all week long. Spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, fellowshipping with other believers, encouraging each other in the faith. Come on, this is showing Christian love, reaching out to one another. Let's experience his love in a new and deep way and continually open up our hearts and our hands and our minds and our lives to him. We have to share his love. Come on. You ever been in love? Well, you just officiated at a wedding, right? So you get around newlyweds or get around those who are about to be married, and you know, you could be telling them all day long the faults of the person they're about to get married to, and they are what? They are deaf and blind. Why? They don't see anything that everybody else around them sees. Because, did you say hormones? Is that why? Well, yeah, that's part of it too. But the reason they can't see any faults is because they're in love. And they do crazy things. And they do stupid things. And they act ways they would normally never act if they were full of their sanity at that moment. Come on, you see people loudly or crazily proclaiming their love to the world, even in public settings. Come on, the old Jumbotron, you know, will you marry me? And they set it up there. And it's so sad when the girl says no in front of all those thousands of people at the ball game. You might want to check ahead of time to see if she might say yes. But come on, you do crazy things when you're in love. It's what humans do. When people are in love, it shows. Come on. God's love comes to us and flows through us. The more we embrace and experience it, the more we can share it with others. Love your neighbor as yourself. The more love of God that you experience for yourself, the more that you can release it and share it with others. Amen. And we dealt with this during the worship time. During this season, reach out, serve others. Forgive those who've hurt you in the past. Accept and experience and share God's love in a deeper way, in a new way during this season. Romans 5:5, again, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. John 17, you know, Jesus prayed a prayer and he said that we would be like the Father and him in relationship. That we would be one, like you and I, Father, are one. I in them, they in us. That we would be one, that the world would look at them and see they're God's disciples. Amen? Let me give you a couple more points and we'll close here. Could have gone a whole bunch of different ways here when we're talking about love. And we've been talking about the love of God for us. But how many of you know that there's also that reciprocal response? If you're in love with somebody, you show your love towards them. Do you know that we are called, according to the scriptures, to love God? We're called to worship him and to praise him. It says over in Luke chapter 4. Those that would worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We're called to put him first place. We're called to have an undivided love, that God is to be our priority. Mark 12:30, it's also in Matthew. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. We've talked about that. Love your neighbor as yourself. The love of God, putting him first place, involves manifesting his love to other people. Amen? We cannot love the present world system and be involved in it and be consumed with it and love God at the same time. Again, we're just sojourning. One of these days I'll resurrect that song, pull that out. There's a great song about being a sojourner in this life, that we are just here temporarily. Do we have our eyes ever on eternity, or just when you're sick and not feeling good? Come on, do we realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Do we understand? Do we still believe that around here? We still believe the Bible. Amen. Another form of love, of loving God, is to desire him. Remember Psalm 42:1, as a deer pants after the water, so my soul pants, desires after thee, O Lord. Come on, to sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary of Bethany. Amen. To desire him. To desire his righteousness, his word of grace to us. To love God is to obey him. We just talked about that a little bit. Not merely following rules and doing good deeds. But Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how the world will know you're my disciples, a love for one another. That's the greatest commandment, right? But to keep his commandments. If you love somebody, you want to do something to make them happy. Right? Otherwise, you're in a one-sided love, and that's never good for everybody. If you're just take, 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 instead of giving out to. Amen? I remember one time I was in a soaking meeting. If you don't know what that is, that's where people get together and worship for 1 or 2 hours and just lay on the carpet and do carpet time. That's another phrase that came out in the last 20, 30 years. So you're doing carpet time and a soaking time, and I'm just talking to the Lord, laying on the ground, listening to worship music, and the Lord prompted me on the inside and said, this is really good, isn't it? And I go, oh, yes, Lord, I'm really enjoying your presence. This is so wonderful. I'm really enjoying, engaged, talking to you right now. Oh, this is great. And he says, do you think other people might like to have the same kind of relationship? And I go, oh, I'm sure they would, Lord. I'm sure they would. Well, why don't you get up off the floor and go tell them? No, it's all about me, Jesus. No, it's all about you, Jesus. And to do your will and manifest your glory here on this planet. Come on, to love him is to obey him. 1 John 5:3 tells us, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous. Therefore, our benefit. Psalm 48 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. The greatest commandment, again, is to love. So we need to be stirred up at this season, this time we're refreshing our memory about the love that God gave to us. That there was a purpose more than just our salvation. That love was given to us for us to share with others. And not just be myopic, not just be nearsighted only about us, but about the whole world too. That first love, that passionate, all-consuming, single-minded adoration. Come on, we talked about it, joked about it, young couples in love, and how they only have eyes for them, their partner, right? Wow. That's human love. Think about how much more our love with the Father through through his son Jesus should be consumed. Passionate, consuming, single-minded adoration. You know, the scripture tells us about King David, about how he blew it a couple times. But the epitome or the epitaph for him is he was a man after God's own heart. So in the midst of his failings and stumblings and falling, he didn't stay fallen. He got back up. He didn't love God perfectly. And his love, his ability to love God, was often hindered by his self, his human weaknesses towards sin. But he was quick to turn to God and repent. Especially when the prophet came and called him out. Then he repented. And we don't need a prophet to come tell us that we need to get right with God. During this time in this season when we're celebrating the love of God towards us, let's not forget that love. What did Jesus' love come for? Give me four things here. Number one, he came to take away sin. He came to take away sin. That's that propitiation I was talking about, that appeasement or that satisfaction that the debt is paid for our sin, right? In the New Testament, it tells us over in Hebrews 2, verse 17, that it's always the work of God and never a work of man. Men try to appease God. Doesn't work. False offerings to false gods, false idols. It doesn't work. Jesus came and he appeased the Father, his wrath, to the Father's satisfaction by giving his life for us. And then secondly, he gives us reconciliation. We are justified freely according to the book of Romans. And John 14:6 says, no man comes to the Father except through the Son, through Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. And this day and hour when people are saying, any belief system works for you. Just believe in something. Anybody ever heard that before? It's all over the airwaves. It's all over the bumper sticker, you know, that really contorted one that has all the different religions crammed together. Yeah. Just coexist or whatever it is, right? Can't we just all get along? Well, that'd be wonderful, but, you know, some people hate you and want to kill you just because you're you. Number one, he came to take away our sin. Number two, Jesus, Scripture tells us over in 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the enemy. In your individual life, in my life, Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Thirdly, he came to make the Father known. John 17:25, I have known you, Father, and these have known that you sent me. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He said in John 14:9, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen? And fourthly, he's letting us know, the love of God is letting us know that he came once, he will come back a second time. In like manner, he will appear again. We know that when he appears, we will be like him. So this morning, before we focus too much on the second coming of Jesus Christ, maybe we need to take a moment and say, have I embraced the first coming of Jesus Christ? His first advent. Need to work that out for yourself based on what we talked about this morning, based on what the scriptures tell us. You should work on that first before you're being focused about the rapture and the end times and Apache helicopters, giant grasshoppers flying, whatever. All that stuff. That's not important. What's important is, what have you done with Jesus? We know what he's done for us. What have you done with what he's done for you? Have you accepted him into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior? The scripture tells us all have sinned, all fallen short of the glory of God. Come on, no one's righteous, no one except Jesus. And he's giving us that righteousness to walk in and live in. 1 John 3:23, I'll close with this. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. He who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given unto us. Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And our benediction, I think it's in your book even. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, I'll read it to you. We'll start back in 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. You know, I don't know if any of you have done this. This is a really good thing, to go through the Pauline prayers and pray them for yourself. Put your name in here. And for this reason, it says, that God would grant to me, David, according to the riches of God's glory, that David would be strengthened with power through God's Spirit in David's inner man. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? You're speaking to yourself. You're applying it. You're making it real in your life. And he's going through this and he says, strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you be filled up to the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Go back. Give the Lord praise. The devotionals are set up so that we teach the message and then you saturate yourself during the week in that word with a devotion each day. And so last week we went through hope and it was so good. And on Saturday for the Deborah Troop meeting, we looked at hope once again and are really enjoying the devotionals. So I encourage you to get into it. It's not real long, doesn't take long to do it, has some questions that you could sit and meditate on and answer, or you could just wait and go on. It's up to you. But we encourage you, pick up the devotional and enjoy it as we go through this Advent season together. And so we're going to take a few minutes here just to minister by the Spirit. And I'm going to ask Elder Sylvie if she'll come on up, and she's going to share if the Lord gives her something today. This is Elder Sylvia, and she helps to oversee prophetic ministry at the end of our services. And so you can use that microphone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just come before you today. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The scripture says that faith, hope, and love are three realities that are with us forever. Prophecy's going to pass away. Tongues are going to pass away. But faith, hope, and love abides forever. Because faith, hope, and love is a person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, that during this Advent season, faith, hope, and love becomes such a reality to us. Thank you, Lord. Help us to experience it in a deeper way. We've heard it for years. Some of us have heard it for years. But let it be fresh and new this holiday season, Lord, as we look with great expectation for the advent of your coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For Duke, can I speak a word to you? I hear the Lord say that you've traveled many miles You've walked a long way. And I hear the Lord say that He loves you very much. And because He loves you very much, He wants you to demonstrate that Jesus Christ love to those around you. I hear the Lord say that you have waited and you have watched and you have sat back. And I hear the Lord say that, son, I love you, I love you, I love you. Where you have felt hopeless, where you have been at the end of your rope, I hear the Lord say that He was with you, He walked with you, He loves you, and He will never leave you or forsake you. And I hear the Lord say that I have given you life to reach around, not only to your family, but those that you come in contact with. I hear the Lord say that, son, today is a new day. You're walking out your winter and you're starting your spring. I will put new shoes in your feet and you will tread upon places that I will lead you to. I will walk you and I will not leave you or forsake you. Lay all the worries, lay all the things at my feet, because I hear your prayers, I see your heart, and I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you, says the Lord. So, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for Duke, and I thank you for his family. I thank you, Father God, that you bless him, that you strengthen him, and most of all, Father God, I thank you that you heal him physically and spiritually, Father. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, as you minister to each one of us, Lord. You're speaking to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, that your peace will guard our hearts and our minds. So, Father, I thank you that you are just downloading fresh peace in our hearts, Lord, in our minds. Let the peace of God guard your heart and mind. He's here to protect us. When you need some peace, you need to ask the Lord for that peace, because he's the Prince of Peace, and we need him to come. Thank you, Lord, for coming to us today with just the river of peace that's flowing over this place, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's because of the spiritual habitation that is here. We have to recognize when we come together, we prepare a spiritual habitation for the Lord to dwell in. And so the Lord is here, and where he is, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord, and we just seal these words today in Jesus' mighty name, and we thank you. Hallelujah.